And Kendra, can you put it in, please? I am Lemken Christina Dwe but well known by the name Trent. Please call me Trent, all of you. Thank you.
I have a very long name. Silva Prabhat Mariotu Dile. Better among them. I'm joking. You can just call me Shiva today. Thanks.
I'm Trent from the country. Also from any
I'm Faith, you can say for me, you can know me as Faith. I'm from the Christian for the agency.
I'm Christina, I'm from Faith, and then
I'm not going to say anything yet.
I'm Emma Morris, from Denver. I'm Faith, I'm Faith.
Okay, those are the members of parliament.
Those are members of parliament. Let me go over to you. They are welcome.
Thank you.
we have selected those not because they are of any priority, but just to illustrate that there are quite a number of apps, and some of these apps will have to be amended from time to time. We'll list in terms of this year and the next slide in January or the end of the city, and we'll be able to list what apps are going to be coming in. Now, the National Health Act, also by way of the also passed by the Parliament, requires the Director General to prepare the state region of health and human resources annually for the exercise of powers and performance of duties of the national department. So the idea is that what we are preparing now, what we are presenting now, will also ultimately inform the national health plan, which will incorporate both the health plan and human resource plan for the country. Now, this, as the National Health Act says, must be an integration of the national departmental plan and the provincial departmental plan, so that there is an integrated national plan. Members will know that the health is the four function and therefore the concurrent. But in this particular a possibility for synergy and integration, so that we have a single national plan which incorporates and integrates provincial plan. So similarly, the heads of provincial departments are also supposed to do the same and have an integrated plan relating to both the local governments and themselves. So it's important to note that the National Health Act envisages that those provincial health plans will conform with national health policy. Of course, this is one of the issues that is prioritized by this government, and therefore, that's why we begin by highlighting the question to say something about it. Now, the difference that I look at to the fact that the mandating party put some priorities on the table beforehand, and of course, these have been broken down through various processes. And of course, from those to cabinet and Kota, as you will see when the program of action of the government is published, around health there are 10 priorities that have been identified for the next 5 years. So we'll reflect them in the LPAF, but they're actually for the next 5 years, not just for the MPF period, but for the MPF period, the medium term statistics. Now, those are given here, because I'm going to actually unpack them one by one. I'm just going to pass through the slides. There are 10 of them, and I'm going to pick them up one by one, so I'm not going to, at the moment, just in general. Now, obviously, the strategic plan of the department is informed by political members. Therefore, the political mandate, those 10 are the priorities. But I must actually immediately say that, apart from those priorities, there are things in any department that are always priorities in that they have a maintenance function. In other words, the department also performs the maintenance function. Those duties contribute to the priorities and to the improved performance. So you see that the first plan is not simply about the 10 priorities, it's about all the activities, because the budget is actually prioritized, but it also must cater for those activities. To give an example, we still continue to license dispensing doctors, and that's a priority that must be improved from time to time. And therefore, we have to have a budget to be able to perform that function. And I can make a whole range of other maintenance functions, which are part of the system that we still continue to do, and they are budgeted for, and therefore they are even human resources for us.
priority. The first priority that has been identified is actually to provide strategic leadership and create a social compact for better health. Now, that speaks to the issue that I alluded to say that we need to reassess in a much more broader strategic direction for health, which is an integrated direction, and ensure that the public out there buys into it and also contributes to that strategic vision. Now, in that regard, quite a number of issues related to planning and our priorities. For example, we plan and we build the plan to ensure coherence in the health sector planning by producing an integrated national health plan, the annual national health plan, as I alluded to, across the three levels of the health system, based on the 10-point plan of the assessment identified. So in other words, what we are saying is, at this stage, now that there's an identification of the 10-point plan, at this stage you'll find that we have attempted to make the first step towards creating a synergy between the provincial plan and the national plan. But of course that synergy will have a gap in that promising finalize their plans and budgets long before we got to this phase. So we then asked them we started with the first phase, which was to simply identify what are the commonalities that are in all provincial plans, speaking to the national plan, and where are the gaps, and where, in the process of doing that analysis. So that by December, November, we'll be able to present a national integrated plan speaking to the 10-point plan. So that all provinces will then also be reflecting what they're going to be doing in relation to that 10-point plan. That's in terms of the National Health Act. I just wanted to say to the members that that's informed by the National Health Act, and that's required. The second thing related to that is, of course, we have to look at the system organization issue. And in this regard, members will be aware that there are certain outstanding issues with regard to the National Health Act, and that would complete the system. And of course, also look at reviewing that. For example, the definition of primary health care and personal health care is the issue of provincialization, because there has been a bit of discussion and debate around provincialization of some of the services, health services. So we have to finalize that matter by the end of March this year, so that the system is actually right. Also, the difficult system, we need to be able to begin to find very clearly what constitutes the district health system in the country. Because we have had kind of different interpretations with different provincial levels. So those are the issues that we are focusing on there. And we also need a much broad mechanism for monitoring and evaluation of the system. Now, there are many mechanisms that we use. The system is both in terms of programs and outcomes. And then begin to set some community-based leadership structures in health through training and of course support and other factors. That is all related, still related to dealing with the issue of leadership in health, creating a complex. One of the instruments of the social dialogue in health is the National Compassionate Health Forum, which was established in terms of the National Health Act. We have convinced it twice since the National Health Act became operational. And this time around, we would like to convene one before the end of the financial year to get all stakeholders, first of all, to buy into the vision and the 10-point plan for the 5 years, and also to ensure that they contribute themselves towards determining what the other one is going to be in achieving those objectives. Then you have the mechanisms that we need to create for engagement with community. What has become well known at the moment that the Ministerial Resource, the MEC Resource, the Presidential
looking at other ways of temptation in the past, and some of them will come up later. But broadly speaking, so that we can have a kind of two-way dialogue with the public on the quality, that means we will talk about improvement of the quality of the monitoring issue that I've talked about is related to that root cause of course will be important to see what happens. And of course, one of these key instruments for monitoring is our demographic health study, which we conduct every 3 years, I think, in order to gauge where we are with regard to the system and such and the health of the nation. So we have to actually finalize that one and ensure that it's implemented. And that relates to, as I said, the first part, providing a kind of coherent strategic leadership and ensuring that social partners are also guided to that issue. The second priority relates to the issue of the national health insurance. This is a priority that has already been determined. Yeah, it's not a new problem. It was there. If you go to our strategic plan previously, you'll see that there was a problem with that. But it was actually taking a certain direction at the time, which has been reviewed by the majority party. And therefore, we put it here in the problem. Now, what we want to say is, within this financial year, in the LCF period, there will be different phases of implementation once that policy is finalized. But in this financial year, as government, we are going to be involved in the finalization of a draft paper and the draft bill for public comment. Now, in this regard, the normal processes of consultation will take place. For example, the executive itself publishes the draft white paper for public comment and allows for adequate time for comment. And when I say adequate time, those that have been here will understand the sort of legal indications that have come from previous cases about the adequacy of the time of comment. So the executive will do that and then finalize its view and then hand over to the legislature for the consultation. And the same process of public consultation, including public hearing, will then take place as normal. So the normal processes will still take place as such. And that will lead to the finalization then of the policy. And the implementation plan will then emerge from what policy comes out of that. So at the moment, we are still at the policy stage. We will then determine the implementation plan on the basis of what the outcome of that policy process will be. In relation to the improvement of the quality of services, which is a very important focus, key among these is the establishment of the well-capacitated office of standard compliance. Now, this is already in the National Health Act, as you know, and we are intending to ensure that by the end of this financial year, this particular office has been capacitated. Now, it might necessitate a review of the posture and the standing of that office. And if it does, then it might imply that we might actually call for some amendments of the Act to allow for that eventuality. But at the moment, we're just saying that we will ensure that the office is well capacitated and is able to function, the Office of Standard Compliance. Part of that is the issue of ensuring that we're able to deal with the issue of accreditation. And as I say, those issues will still emerge as we implement to what it will necessitate to ensure effectiveness and capacity. If it requires amendments in the Act, then we'll come back and say we require the following amendment. We don't believe so at the moment. We believe that the National Health Act is adequate for that. But we will leave that space open. And of course, we have identified, as you will recall, again coming from the last strategic plan, by the end of which are found in polytropical scientists, are the ones that are the worst affected, but they also have perhaps more, and they are more populated than other districts. So we have a plan to ensure that our improvement plan focuses on service delivery in those districts. In an integrated fashion, so we talk about an integrated plan to improve health services in those agencies. That does not mean that we're not improving health services in other districts, but this is more of a prioritization focus for the turnaround strategy. Then we would also, in the context of that, work out the norms, the standards, and clinical guidelines for use in health facilities across the country in order to ensure a very clear benchmark for performance. And we then use those to benchmark. You'll recall that we started the 27 facilities before, and we have 4,029 facilities in this country. And of course, because this is a very labor-intensive and very intense process of benchmarking, and the capacity at the moment of that office is not that huge. We are able to do this year 54 facilities, but by the end of this 10-year period, we would have reached 1.6 facilities, hopefully more. But this is projections in terms of the capacity we have. Of course, this will be amended in the annual amendment if it is changed. And of course, the support for 100 public facilities to produce quality improvement plans. That is in relation to a strategy to actually have selected facilities for turnaround starting from this year. And of course, one of the key turnaround strategies is to enable them to identify where their problems are, because they differ from facility to facility. And then to say how they're going to deal with so that there's a transparent plan that everybody knows and is going to be implemented by this facility. And then this issue of designing and implementing a national access event supporting and responses so as to ensure patient safety and to reduce unintended harm to patients. I think it's a very critical issue. Of course, it's been topical, so we're going to ensure that that is implemented. The chair was very pleased to know that this is going to happen by this year because it's already becoming an ongoing office itself. He was telling the story earlier that he was called by members of the public at 2 a.m. to investigate a particular complaint. So the National Health has exhibited an ongoing office which will receive and investigate all complaints of the public. That doesn't preclude the members of parliament doing the same, but they will also have a mechanism to refer this matter for investigation, immediate investigation. So this we want to be sure that by the end of the financial year, the office is functional, or at least has been established so that it can actually start working. So this is an office that will be independent of the Department of Health, and that will be then able to investigate whatever issues the public raise concerns about how they are treated by various people. Support for the 57 hospitals to implement the health facility improvement plan. Those are the ones that have already started, including others that are in the 1850. And then we ensure that we raise the level of supervision and PhD level. One of the key issues of quality has been the quality of supervision in our PhD facility. So we want to ensure that by ensuring that supervisors are identified. Now, with regard to priority number 4, which contains looking at the overhauling the management of the system and the system as a whole, the financial management issue are what we need to focus on to ensure that the proper budget control and to improve on the audit outcome, on over expenditure issues which are quite increasing us at the moment, and to reduce the number of matters of emphasis or concerns that are raised coming up. Because one of the things that we need to do is to ensure that we monitor from vital expenditure first. And the Department of Health in the past has not been able or enabled to actually do a direct monitoring on a monthly or on a quarterly basis of the provincial expenditure. And therefore, we also then, at the time when things are happening, that the over expense somewhere late before we can be able to assist in the intervention. So we have agreed with Mr. Treasurer that this is a very critical capacity that we need in this department to establish or also working with National Treasury to deal with this so that we can be able to do that. And we would also then work with all districts to ensure that the nation team there, as I said, we want to ensure there's a very clear sense of a district system and the nation teams in those districts, they are complete. So all these would imply that we were able to say what would constitute a district management team. So in other words, we would be coming with some broad norms and standards for all facilities on all structures of the system. And of course the issue of hospital management is a critical issue at the moment. We have the CEOs that are running those hospitals need to be capacitated to start doing this work. And therefore we're getting them involved in the program, which is just focusing on that capacity building, including of course ensuring appropriate delegation of authority to hospital managers. I must say that this matter of delegation of authority again has been raised up for some time. I remember that in the previous case of the nation address there was a reference to this. And then there were issues that were identified in the process leading to us ensuring that all CEOs have a certain level of capacity. So that the delegation is also equal to the capacity. So that we don't create problems in another sense. So that also is going to be attended to. With regard to HR, we have a review of the framework for HR, which you already know. In order to amend it where it is necessary and to this also includes the investigation of the possibility of establishing norms and standards for the provision of HR in health facilities. Now we say there's a determination to actually establish those norms, but we have to investigate a whole range of issues such as implications for budgets and all sorts of things like that, relationships between national and provincial. Support for the 9 provinces to ensure that their HR plans are up. The implementation of the national strategy, you remember that this is also linked to the issue of the opening of colleges. Now, with regard to that particular issue of the reopening of colleges, which also relates to the next point about policy, the current national colleges, in terms of their capacity, infrastructure capacity, as well as equipment capacity. Now, linked to that is the issue that, again, in the previous implementation plan, there was the issue of the opening of colleges. And the colleges were open, except those that had already been integrated into higher education, and the infrastructure that was there available has been already allocated to for other functions. For example, you find that some of them have become home affairs. So the issue of opening of colleges shouldn't be seen simply as opening that college as we knew it. It actually also implies that we look at the training needs of nursing in the country, identify what the role of the college sector is going to be in terms of that training, and therefore identify what capacity in the college sector do we need. For example, should it be to those colleges be also located further back to the hospital as it was before, or should they be standalone colleges? And that's the broader debate in the context of education, the national qualification framework, etc. So on our part, the commitment is we are going to re-establish it to the college sector, the nursing college sector. That's how we should understand that. Of course, previously operating codes that can be reopened, but open new codes so that we have found that code for training purposes. Then the OSD issue is an issue that we are all familiar with. We would want to finalize all matters related to OSD, particularly for the categories that have already been identified by the end of this financial year. You've seen that in some discussions, there's a view that we need to finalize this by the end of this month, and at least reach some agreement on this matter. And of course, there's also implementation after. So that's also a priority, because it's actually critical for dealing with the issues of retention and recruitment. Then the issue of reviewing the education and training needs of the country is a very critical one. In fact, the link with the first thing of reviewing our human resource health plan. This is more in relation to how we deal with the supply side and when we understand what our needs are, including the assessment of the health professional training and development grants in conjunction with the Department of Education and National Education. This process has already started, and we would want to finalize so that we can inform how we then talk to the education facility. We continue with our revitalization process of health infrastructure. But again, with some differences in emphasis here and there. Some of these things are very specific. We've been able to produce those specific because they are already in budget. We would like to ensure that we have a very clear national policy for planned prevention maintenance, because we've seen that there's a problem of preventive maintenance. And then the evaluation of the five future hospitals which are actually now in the pipeline. And those are the hospitals that are identified for the current financial year for evaluation. Let me emphasize, there are many others that are actually being evaluated for peace and business plans and so on, but these are in advanced stage, so we are ensuring that they are finalized. So subject to the outcome of that review, we'll then deal with the construction of these hospitals by the end of the MPF period. We recall that this actually relates to what has been budgeted for in this current MPF period. Next year we'll be putting other hospitals for this year when we do the budget period for purposes of that. At the moment, only three hospitals have problems with the part of the hospital revitalization process in this year. So 27 hospital projects are currently in this financial year, in this 2009-2010 and going forward. And of these two hospitals, the problem is in the planning phase. So there are 18 hospitals that are planned to put in the process. And then nine hospitals are in the construction phase. The details can be provided at this amendment one at a later stage. Now, we want these are currently aligned to the expenditure framework. That's what we need to do. So we can only commit to those that are already committed in the financial, in the LPR series. However, as I say, we always motivate for more. Which is why this issue has already been discussed, and I think the President also made a pronouncement. That is, we need to expand the possibilities for the revitalization process by looking at what kind of role the private sector can play in the hospital revitalization process. And of course, with regard to PHC, we have already identified the need to do an audit, which is regardless of all infrastructure in the primary health care level, so that we can look at the services, whether they are adequately equipped to the needs of the community. Whether you're talking about water, sanitation, infrastructure, health technology, etc., all that sort of issues. So we'll do an audit. And we started with schools as a government, and now we're in the health sector doing the health government. Now, the seventh priority relates to the implementation of the strategic plans for the programs, the health programs that are priority programs. Here, HIV and AIDS, TB, and other communicable diseases caveats that are indicated here are caveats taken straight from the NMC. So we have caveats that say that we need to ensure that that 80% of pregnant women who are eligible are placed on ARV prophylaxis based on dual therapy in the MGS system by 2012. So all those priorities, and this is here that I want to illustrate the point that I was making about an integrated national plan, because I think it should actually be much more explicit and understood here. If we take, for example, as you are saying, this program, we need to strengthen PMCCT and ensure that 80% of the infants and also 80% of the mothers, of pregnant women, actually have access to PMCCT. That 80% for it to be achieved, we need to be able to say province A must reach 90% and province B 55%. Otherwise, we won't be able to reach that 80%. It will just be a standard figure. So in other words, you need a very thorough integration, including budgetary implications for that. For each province to be told you must plan for so much in order for that to reach that target. That's the first thing I want to say about that. The second thing I want to say about that, this one is that this is one of those priorities, particularly this one that I'm just referring to. This is one of those priorities where in fact as we are implementing, we are very much cautious in the perspective of there are established rights that have been established by our own policies in terms of this particular issue. So if we say, for example, that in terms of policy, as the case currently, people who reach a certain city for camp will need to be on treatment. We need to be able then in our integrated plan to deal with the possibilities of ensuring that everybody who fits that description has the right of access to treatment. And that's why you need to work on that integration. So those are the HIV targets. And then link to that also, I talk about the ALT target and the HIV and the CLTC target. And we also have within the HIV context the issue of MDR and FDR-TB. Largely patients who are MDR and FDR-TB patients are actually also co-infection issue. Now, with regard to TB, MDR-TB and FDR-TB, we also have a strategic plan that has been canvassed and has been adopted by stakeholders and everybody else, and all we are doing is to ensure that we implement that, and we also look at training issues. These are things among others. Here we also have the matter of the identified four districts in terms of the emergency that was identified in the last financial year. We're going to complete that work on the four districts. We have seen improvements in our focus in terms of turning around the TB outcomes there. And therefore we're going to continue with that work. But we among other things that is happening is that and it's not only bullet points, but members of the committee can know that from the 6th of July to the 17th of July, we have a national, an international team of experts from the World Health Organization, which initially was supposed to be led by President Sampaio, who is the current envoy of the UN General Secretary on TB. Former President Sampaio, unfortunately, has taken leadership and that level of operation is not going to be able to come to South Africa. But that high level delegation is going to be doing a review of our TB program from the 6th to the 17th. Now, towards the tail end of that, because the first week will be largely the experts themselves, but then the high level delegation will come in for the last 4 or 5 days. They would want to have an interaction with member of parliament, the chairperson, or a committee, the portfolio committee where possible. So we will provide the details so that they can be able to give feedback on that, because it's a public profile in the event. It's an international thing. We've done this before, and our TV program is due for another review this year. So that was what happened, is one of the highlights there. Then, of course, the work on malaria control continues, particularly in terms of intercountry and cross-border malaria. And then, specifically with regard to the FIFA Soccer World Cup, but also currently, the issue of disease control community awareness is an ongoing issue here. You will know that we are now on phase 6 of the H1N1 situation, and therefore we're up to our levels of community awareness and alertness and such, in line with the guidelines of the WHO. It is very difficult that our own people are also aware of some of these issues that are in international health regulations. To continue on this one, maternal child and women's health, the focus on those 18 districts you'll see also reflects in this progress. As I said, we're improving the 18 districts, and so there's a reflection in the progress at the start. For example, the implementation of the ISDI, the Household and Community Support in 18 knowledge districts, as I said, you see that's the reference to the 18 districts I spoke about. But you also have the acceleration of the accelerated progress towards health-related SDGs, related particularly to maternal and neonatal and child and women's health, and also TB elimination. Now, if you look at these, one of the key issues here is the introduction of those vaccines which we talked about in this committee, and therefore the rollout is going to be taking place. Priority number 8 relates to ensuring that the public is in partnership. Mandate was one is that together we can do more. So I think that thing is being carried through also in health in terms of mass mobilization. Particularly because here we believe that that's where you fight the burden of health. By dealing with ensuring that people are very much conscious of their own health lifestyle and ensure that they live healthy. So the focus on health lifestyle, particularly with regard to physical activity, tobacco control, and perhaps more emphasis this time around on alcohol and substance abuse control. And of course, safer sexual practices is an ongoing matter. So in this regard, we ensure that all provinces and all 52 districts are actually upping at their level of the campaign around healthy lifestyle. As I said, the focus on alcohol abuse is going to be receiving a little bit more attention this time around. Particularly working with the department, with the police and the Department of Transport, we have identified that most of the trauma cases, whether they come from the road or they come from other things, are related to this issue of alcohol and substance abuse. And so we will be dealing with issues of prevention of the over-flooding of our trauma units by ensuring that we deal with this issue of alcohol abuse. And of course, other non-communicable diseases such as diabetes, we continue that way. With regard to the drug policy, there is a process, of course, you will be aware of the implementation of the. There are three issues related to this matter. One is the processes of registration and licensing of drugs for use in South Africa. You'll be aware that you passed legislation last year, and it's been consented to by the president. And we'll be looking at, therefore, the implementation of that agency that actually was approved by the president, including possible issues of improvement in that legislation if there are any coming up from the reviews that are taking place at the moment. And we will also then be looking at the improvement of the drug supply management in the system. in order to avoid the situation of stockout, particularly of essential drugs. Because part of it, apart from the resource issue, part of it is mainly the management system that is to supply more drugs. You will find that some drugs are there, but they are actually in store and are not in the clinic because of the systems that are involved in it. So part of that is looking at the supply, the supply chain information systems that are there currently. And we have looked at this issue and we are reviewing as part of policy broadly, as part of policy broadly, our information system for a variety of reasons. This is one of the areas we are focusing on in terms of that. Now, before I pass on this one, Chair, members will note that your reference of this meeting talks about also being great about the LCC and its strategic plan and priorities, etc. Now, I just want to alert members to the fact that the LCC is a comment, not as a public entity. The public entity is coming as part of the implementation of the legislation that we passed. So as a committee, it wouldn't have a strategic plan separate from the Department of Health. What this plan would be to inform the Medicines Regulation Authority, the MRA, which is a section of the department. You will find it in the strategic plan in the details. But as I said, the main issue for us, for the MCC is the implementation of the Act as passed by the President, including, as I said, possibilities of review of some of the aspects of that part if the political principle is actually deemed necessary. So it might be that there might be a possibility of bringing back some of the issues to the committee with regard to the implementation of that. At this stage, that will still be determined by processes that are finalized in that process. A related matter is the prioritization of the backlog of what is regarded as the backlog in the NSC at the moment. And so there are processes of trying to deal with that so that we can faster the matter that relates to that. But certainly you will recall that the NSC itself was supposed to come. The current NSC was supposed to produce regulations with regard to complementing medicine. And that matter is also going to be finalized as we go forward. So I thought I should actually just alert members to that one to run their presentation, but it's something called an entity strategic plan. Because the entity is a committee, it will have a certain plan on that. It will have an internal process of planning how to write the committee. So research and development is another priority which actually ensures one of the key issues in South Africa is, of course, information about health. And ensuring that we have official information and statistics about health care point of reference. So a whole range of activities, these are some of them that are actually going to be involved in this issue. So Chairperson, among other priorities that are actually there in this plan, we've actually selected the 10 key priorities that have been identified by the mandating organization and therefore adopted by cabinet as the implementation. There are others in the section, because section by section will tell you what their priorities and objectives are and what expenditure they're going to use. Now, having said that, Chair, what is the budget situation with regard to that? In order to break the monotony of my voice, Chair, allow me to ask the CFO to take us through this section. That's only
reflects the
conferences, and they explained something to me at that level. So there were two problems in fact from not spend their funds as allocated, so we withheld as spent the CSMA, the funding, the specific was in case and Pumalang. Also with the forensic pathology services grant, one problem could not perform as the target, so we withheld about 10.2 million for the province of North Cape. So that attributes to the fund that is spent for 4%. Yes, there are one or two million at National Health. Specifically, the one that we would like to highlight that we did not spend was the capital expenditure for the our move to the our new building in Sibita. There was a delay in that regard because of the delay of completion of the building by customers in the contractor. Secondly, sorry, on the same slide, secondly, on the same under expenditure of 4%. There is an amount of 10 million that we could not spend because of the delay in the process of tendering for the recapitalization of the nursing colleges. The DG earlier alluded to the audit of the nursing colleges with the aim of reviewing the reopening and the implementation of that goal. So there was an amount of 10.2 million that was supervised that we could not spend. So a rollover of that also has been. So all of that and the expenditure, specifically for the EMR project, has been requested from Treasury, and there are positive indications that we will get a rollover. This slide depicts the pressure that the department was put under for a student to receive the year after for 08-09. Those are as you reflected, I won't go into them individually, except to highlight the final event that indicates that the department is under pressure to implement its mandate with limited funding to recruit human resources that we have, and we are at 25% of the rate. That is just the trend of the department and the province's allocations from the financial year 2004-05 up to 2010-2011. For the National Health Department from 1.3 billion to currently 1.4 for 09-10 and 1.5 billion for the next financial year. And those are the figures also for the provinces. And please, for members to know that this was fairly adjustment budget. So for the prior year up until 07-08, those are actual. And then 08-09 at that time, before and then the 09-10 and 2010 in any area. Okay, that is the performance with regards to the Department of Health as a first drop after, and then at the bottom we see the of the same department with the conditional grant. So the total allocation for the next medium term expenditure estimate for 09-10, which is for the strategic plan that the DBS just presented, is 17 billion, growing to 19 and 20 in the two outer years. And as per the treasury guidelines, we have just the 5% guideline for the increase for the 2012-2013. And those are the allocation for the conditional grants that are implemented at the provincial level. Now, this is the medium-term expenditure estimate with specific programs that we have tendered our bid to the National Treasury, and these are the allocations we have received. As the DG said, we will be getting to the bid process again for the next financial year, with the hope if possible of improving some of those allocations. I will specifically highlight the OMP1 at the bottom before the total, because there are already indications that those figures will change for the coming NCC.
Can I therefore just say that if you have the previous NP and system, we have already given you some treatment here. This is why there is an effort to be in the next time, so that you know what it is.
Thank you, DG. So that is just an indication of the growth, sort of the percentage of the health sector expenditure, and especially of the This is the outcome. Trying to be audited of the provincial extension. The problems I want to go too much from them, except to highlight the bottom line. That with the total allocation of 73 billion, 73.5, the adjusted, so that the, all the provinces together, spend comes to 1.8%. It's an indication of over expenditure, which I already alluded to, which automatically becomes a step forward for the next financial year. So this is just an indication of the potential pressure in terms of expenditure patterns at provincial level. That is the performance in terms of personnel. I would think that, that we have overspent by 5% on the allocated budget. And that is capital. Unfortunately, we have a history of under expenditure on the capital expenditure, but mainly part, the reason behind this is already indicated is the reverse transition grant specifically, because provinces experience different challenges with regard to the revitalization grant, either because of capacity of the contractor or delayed tender processes at the provincial level. And that is the outcome of the conditional grant expenditure for the year 08-09, with the total allocation of 13.6 billion, which was adjusted with the rollovers and additional funding to 14.2 billion, with outcome of 13.9 billion, 5.9 overall, that are already admitted to the members will note that the conditional grants that I highlighted there. Revitalization Italian forensic pathology. For those provinces that could not spend their money but were not recalled by withheld by National Health, they would request their role over the provincial level. Okay, the department went through an adjustment estimate as a normal last financial year 08-09. And those were the, some of the bills that we put to Treasury. So, for instance, this OSP, based on the work done in the department in the calculations, the request was 2.5 billion, which was invested, that we will find ourselves in the situation we are, where we overspent the, on the OSP, but we only managed to receive 1 billion that was Treasury's affordability. Same with the HIV and AIDS, we requested 1 billion, we also received 300 million. And then requested 350 million for the vaccine, but the DG reflects to earlier, and only 350 million. Okay. Similarly, just for the bids for 09-10, those are the bids that we put across and we highlighted, specifically HIV and AIDS. And of the submitted bids for the prior year, 08-09, we had requested 9.8 million, and we only received 300 million. And for the year under review for this specific plan, we have requested 1.4 billion and only received 200 million. These are indications of the pressure that the department is facing in trying to address the gaps that are identified at provincial and county level. And those are the implications. It means that the targets that we have put across for ourselves, we cannot reach that goals, and we have to reprioritize and do the best we can with the funding that is available. And the cost right at the end of the drug, which is the ARV and other medications. With the revitalization grant, we had to actually revise the indicators of the allocations that we had to see from Treasury. Because of the economic decline, we had to cut down those millions. But this was negotiated with the relevant provinces based on the spaces where their projects are. So we had to cut 19 million from education, 1 million Limpopo for the next financial year, and 22 million for Kumananga for the year 11 as well.
Yes, yeah, again, I must say, if you look at the reason why I was putting this, if you go back to the figure for the MPF budget last year, they would indicate that the MPF for those projects was different from this one because of this minor figure. Don't be surprised if that is because of this minor figure. They go down to the process of budgeting.
when the economy, when the implication of the economy hits the revenue impact.
The implications of those cuts, as I've already indicated, is that we'll have to review our target and operate the set of expenses that we have. With the national special expenses grant, those are triggers. We also have big funding gaps in terms of our list. For the year that has just passed, 08-09, there is a gap of 2.2 billion. The year under review, which is 09-10, and the 2.6 billion, and the next financial year is 2.6 billion. And those are the indications of underfunding. So some of the provinces who can afford, they are able to juggle around and negotiate with their provincial treasuries for equitable shares and utilization to close the gap. And that they, unfortunately, because NCLC grants mainly benefit the tertiary hospitals. Therefore, it means we are going to pressurize the primary care in order to close those gaps, which is an unfortunate situation. And especially in underdeveloped provinces, which do not really receive the national social services, which are the provinces which do not have tertiary hospitals. And therefore, the aim of relieving the pressure or the cost related to social services from bigger provinces is not achieved. One of the main objectives of this
I suppose that in all of them was trying to get the national social services. This, of course, would explain what happened previously in terms of this problem that we actually took a big step in which then began to see the problem starting to reduce the cost and then the problem. One of the issues that we need to look at here, which I think is going to come as a quality issue, is the issue of whether these services shouldn't be national competence, so that they don't burden the provincial budget. Because once they are burdened on the provincial budget, then what happens is the choice. And then we have the problem. Because these are very important secondary institutions that is actually the resource for research, for advanced treatment and all those kinds of things, including hospitals like hospital and others. So one of the policy issues that comes here, which we are discussing, is the issue of whether this we shouldn't put on the table this discussion around locating this national, which would then take out from the problem. Of course, the other challenges come in. They are part of the service platform of problems. So that problem is an ongoing issue.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? In summary, this is the future has already alluded to. We are saying in this department that the only thing for doctors and infectious is not sufficient to implement for the whole group in 1 year. Of the current negotiations, and we are looking at the phasing approach. And equally so, we are saying the percentage growth of the HIV/AIDS allocation does not match the uptake growth specifically for the ART program. And we're saying also that the funding for the cost of revitalization grant is not enough to address the gap identified for short term intervention debt solutions. No funding, again, has been received. Long-outstanding health information management system. Alternatives to take the solutions are being considered and are actually related to
the information. Just to elaborate on this, you see that what you are then saying is that part of our strategy as the department is then to look at how we can fund the funding gaps that are created by the budget process and what we get from the allocation. Rightfully so, perhaps because of some of the pressure. Let me take them one by one. On the HIV-AIDS allocation issue,
One of the issues that we have raised that we will do with further is to look at the funding that is available in the country for Italy, not just from the government, from all donors and so on, and see if we can actually recognize, because there are a lot of funding in this country, but whether it is actually prioritized in line with the demand, particularly for treatment that is actually growing, is one of the questions. So part of the strategy is to look at that type of situation so that there's complementarity in the funding process. But this issue of health information systems and therefore ICT in health, particularly from the integration point of view, has been an outstanding issue for a long time. I think in every budget brief of the last 3 years, we tried to put some money. But when it was changing, of course, as a result, the situation of integration of information in the country is actually deteriorating. Of course, the provinces, some of the provinces are able to get funding from their own provinces, and then they continue to implement some of the capacities while others grow. And of course, if you don't have a kind of national approach to this matter, then you create inequality. We create other things that actually help us. I mean, and so when we look at this issue, of course we're looking at alternative solutions. For the specifics that we've already started with, for example, the electronic health record, and also the human resource system that we've actually put in place to ensure that we know who are the health professionals in this country and where are they, whether they're in parliament, chairman, or so that we can be able to say, can we use our resources better and take away all those that are in parliament into the hospital and bring other people into parliament? Those kinds of things. They would be able to do that. So I thought that you have to elaborate on that.
But I need to know what they're talking about.
Like to indicate that funding for the attention of health professionals in the public, in the public sector, 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 in the
relate it to the pattern. To talk about the national pattern, and it's actually reflected in the estimate of expenditure document that is there in the money. But to suggest that health priority, it would be very easy for us as national health to put a state plan that speaks only to the amount of money we have. But that would not be speaking to the system. So what we do is we try and present a national health plan that talks about the priorities of the system. And that's why we talk about this integrated plan. So that in future we could be able to come perhaps in the next financial year and bring this committee and say this is the priority. Province A has so much money for this priority, Province B for this priority, Province C for the same priority. Because if we present yes, you'll see that your national budget estimates are about the national department, and the bulk is conditional grant and some settings. The operation of the national department is a very small amount. So you will note that, which is why therefore when we went to the budget part, we thought we should also reflect on the budget of the province in expenditure trends, pressure, etc. But of course most of this is not about discussing those budgets. So we would actually welcome another opportunity or such a nature. The second thing that I want to say to you is that we, even outside the context of the economic downturn that we had, as you saw in the spend in terms of expenditure, the health and the sector is actually under pressure in terms of expenditure. And of course, the government has said in the next 5 years we must cover that health, so hopefully we're going to be able to see the profit. But of course, it's always a two-sided issue. On the one hand, an efficient health system will allow for investment. On the other hand, to reach that efficiency, you need the investment. So it's always an ongoing balance between those two issues. And so we'll have to see how in our part are able to improve the quality. But also we would like to ensure that the improvement on the resources. We make this point that the committee can consider this as a current budget. Thank you very much.
Now, let's know that this is from one side, next and one side, from the other side, then I can talk. No, thank you very much, David. I suppose if you want to understand and be able to convince other people about health, you need to be a professor, whether a politician or a that's why it's so easy to talk to the doctors and say, no, what they need to come in, because this is the doctors where we do the okay. I suppose we've been listening to the department. Can we have a 5 minute break and then come back and ask questions? Just 5 minutes.